We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Are you still at home? You better still be at home. This is our coronavirus quarantine special, whatever the hell we're calling it. Something Yankees. The goal is give you something Yankees every day to talk about, whether it's a debate online, whether it's something with the people you're quarantined with, whether it's a blog post you're going to write, whatever it is. Today, I am joined by Ryan. You can follow him on Twitter at Stadium Status. And it's Stadium, S-T-A-T-U-Z. And Ryan has the spiciest, probably worst take I have ever read in my life. Ryan, what is your take that you'd like to talk about today?
All right, what's up, JJ, man? Man, Joe Torre, the legend, the myth, right? He's overrated, bro. 100% overrated, man. 100%, bro.
I wonder how many people just turned it off now. Joe Torre, obviously, we know. How old are you?
I'm 35, man.
Okay, so we're the same age. So we've gone through, and I always just ask that to try to frame it around what, you know, like, you know, if you're 50, you might have a different opinion. If you're 20, you know, you have a different opinion. So we're the same age. Joe Torre, the manager of our youth, into our adulthood, you believe is overrated. Many people consider him the number three manager all time of the New York Yankees, a man that managed the Yankees for 12 years, going 1173 and 767 with a .605 winning percentage. How is he overrated?
All right, JJ. So just real quick, how this whole thing started was just because it's just for Yankee fans. This is not for MLB. You know, this is not for other fans to be talking about. I would never bring this up around anybody else. This is basically family. You know, if you're a Yankee fan, I consider you family. So we can talk about this amongst each other.
Yeah, no one calls
leave our family business.
Yeah, no one calls my brother ugly except me.
Exactly. So let's just get that before I know that, you know, that's what's going to happen. So it's just for us Yankee fans to talk about, especially during this time where there's nothing to talk about. All right, man. So I mean, I have a couple little things here and there that I just before we start is that, you know, he got fired three times before he joined the Yankees. So let's just go before he joined the Yankees. You know, he got fired three times. He had a 538 career managerial record.
And who did he manage? The Braves, the Mets, and the Brewers?
And the Cardinals.
Oh,
yeah.
Cardinals. Gotcha.
Cardinals, yeah. So he managed all those teams. He was actually a really good player. I don't know if anybody really knows. He won the MVP, I think, in 77. He was actually a really good player. I didn't even know about that. But so yeah, he stepped into the managerial career, you know, before he stepped into the Yankees. He was 109 games below 500. He didn't win a postseason game in 14 years. Yeah. That's before joining the Yankees, right? Okay, fine. So all right, so you know, I was, you know, at that age, obviously, I didn't know anything about Joe Torre. So Clueless Joe, you know, I guess that's the biggest headline when they hired him, and Showalter was you know, let go by Steinbrenner, and then you know, from then on, 96 through 2001, magical. I mean, JJ, come on, we're never gonna see that again. We peaked way too early. We're both the same age. We peaked too early. You agree?
No, I mean, I really could have gone for a World Series like in college. That's the one thing. Yeah. It's like just missed it. But like, what a great childhood. I like of course. So let's say the Yankees have, because they had gone 18 years before they won in 1996. Mm-hmm. If let's say they didn't win then, like all those World Series that they won, and they had like another 10 years, you know, like we've just gone through right now, I don't even know. I honestly don't know that I love baseball as much as I do now, because like the winning, getting to the top, I remember the Yankees being shitty in the early 90s. I remember Danny Tartable Pogs, Mel Hall cards, Pat Kelly giveaways, and then just Don Mattingly's broken old back.
Oh, man, just feeling so sorry for Don Mattingly. I think he's the first player. I remember like just hearing my father and my grandfather talk about him, and it was just like, it was like, oh, my God, you know what I mean? Like, why can't he just get over the hump? Why can't we just get this guy one? And I don't know, man. His face, he always looks sad. I don't know. For me, Donnie always looks sad, man. Yeah, it could be that too.
But so, like, and then if that, like, that kept going, because I always look at, you know, team like the Brewers, like people who are Brewers fans, like, why? How do you even do that? You know, just teams that like don't win, don't get close, maybe make the playoffs, you know, every decade or so. Like, you know, the Padres, like, who's a Padres fan? Why would you do that? Just don't like baseball, just like another thing, like Magic the Gathering. So I worry that like that's where I'd be. Like, maybe I would enjoy mm-hmm. another sport more, especially being from New York. But so I don't know that we peaked too early, because like, I probably true. Wouldn't care if they started winning them now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just saying it to the fact that, like, you know, I started. I don't know exactly when you started. I started. You know, I remember Edgar Martinez. They just played that game last night on MLB Network 8:30. That Edgar Martinez line drive over the third base, and then Ken Griffey slides to home in the 95 postseason, and just that was it for me. You know what I mean? That was a turning point for me, where like, it was like, okay, baseball or die. That was it. Like, this is going to be my life for the rest. This is going to be how I am for the rest of my life. You know,
that was the 96. Taste. That right? was the taste. 95, ugh. Ken Griffey. That was like, yo, the first hit's free. Like that first hit of playoffs. And then all of a sudden mm-hmm. I'm just a junkie. Like, yo, you got any more of them playoffs?
It's insane. Like that's how I feel. Like, man, we got introduced at the perfect time. Like that rounding the corner, Griffey rounding the corner. And I love Ken Griffey Jr. You know, not when he played the Yankees, he killed the fucking Yankees. I mean, this career stats, he killed the Yankees all the time. And so, you know, that obviously piqued my interest. I was what, 10 years old. I think I just turned 10. So
yeah.
And then 96, man, the magical year that nobody knew was coming. You know what I'm saying? So I'll give 100% of credit to Joe that year. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I don't know if Showalter gets us over the hump. I don't know if anybody else does. But he was just so maybe the perfect chemistry. You know what I mean? It's, he had nothing yet. Yankees had expectations, but basically we had no expectations for him. So it was kind of like, hey, you know, this guy is a new manager. How's he going to mesh this thing? You know, Steinbrenner was fucking dropping a hammer on every single guy. Is he going to fire him after 10 games? You know, how's it going to go? And Joe just kind of just like, I guess, just was able to calm the storm. And, you know, it was a magical run, bro. I mean, that was.
Well, he was a transitional manager. He was supposed mm-hmm. to be, you know, he was the Iron Sheik. He's supposed to mm-hmm. get it from Showalter to whoever's next. He was Clueless Joe on the cover of the paper. Yes, he got fired three other places. Yes, he didn't win a playoff game for 14 years. There were less playoff teams then. It was much tougher to make the playoffs to get those playoff wins. There mm-hmm. were, and like, yeah, he lost his job. But like you said, no expectations. He's not, or the lowest expectations, if any expectations. And he's not supposed to do anything to win us championships, while also, so like Showalter, people love Showalter. People think Showalter's a great manager, and he is. But he was so bad with young players. And with the core four coming along, Andy Pettit said in 95, Showalter didn't even talk to him because he just didn't talk to rookies. And now when you've got Jeter coming up, you know, Pettit's still young. You've got Mo, who's going to come along and, you know, play a key role in 96. You've got Bernie Williams really finding his footing. Showalter couldn't have done the job because he wouldn't have talked to, you know, a third of the team because they were too young. Whereas Joe, looking for fresh opportunity, saw, you know, the opportunity to be the man in New York. I mean, he's a guy who's born in Brooklyn. He knows like what it means to win a World Series for New York, to be a champion in New York, because he's, you know, he saw it as a kid, he saw it growing up, he saw it his whole life, and he really stepped up at that point and managed a lot of personalities that changed over time. And so, like, I just don't see how that can be overrated. Maybe if you want to say like his whole career, but he'd have if he was this good his whole career, he'd win 20 World Series.
And I think that that's where, like I said, between Yankee fans, you know what I'm saying? Like 96, obviously magical. 97, you know, who was that? One of the Alomar brothers, right? Hit the home run off of Mariano in Cleveland. And then 98, 99, and 2000, man. I mean, that run right there, it was cemented forever, you know, in his Yankee history, obviously, and in ours childhood. And everything was gravy. You know what I'm saying? Everything was gravy. Nothing. There was no, we didn't feel like there was any missteps. I mean, 98 team was probably, you could put that down as one of the best teams ever in baseball, 125 games. I mean, they steamrolled the playoffs. I mean, the Padres, like you said, who the hell was on the Padre team? Was Gwynn on that team? Like, I don't even remember. I think he was the only one I remember being on that team in 98. And then
98, did they have Ken Caminiti still?
I think so, man. I mean, that guy was a beast.
like he was raw.
Yeah, but that team was not going to beat the Yankees. The Yankees could have spotted them 3.5 games and still wouldn't have fucking beat the Yankees. You know what I'm saying? Like, that team was just destiny team. And then 99, you know, Atlanta, that was a rematch of the 96. Bobby Cox couldn't get them over the hump either, you know. Another great manager just couldn't get them past that, you know, past the Yankees. And then 2000, I don't even talk about the Mets. I mean, give me a break. Let's get serious here. The Mets were never going to beat the fucking Yankees. The Yankees will never lose to the Mets in the World Series. I don't care. We played this game for 1,000 years. It's never going to fucking happen. You know, the Mets will never beat the Yankees. So, okay, so we got that 3-year run. Perfect. Everything's gravy, right? So now we go to 2001. You know, the events of 9/11 happened. And I don't fault anybody for that, obviously. That was
– I'll tell you who I fault. I fault Osama bin Laden. I'm pointing fingers.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about baseball season. But yeah,
okay. I'm just making sure we fault people.
Oh, no.
I know, I'm kidding. I'm breaking chops.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was a tough World Series, man. I definitely cried after that World Series. I remember that being a really emotional.
I threw my house phone at the wall.
Ah, man. It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. That was the only time I ever felt like everybody was with the Yankees. You know what I mean? Like, it felt like every fan wanted the Yankees to win that World Series.
For America.
Yeah, man. Like, how would that parade would have worked out, though? Like, would they have done it during the Canyon Heroes? I don't even know.
I don't know, like, what roads were blocked, but if the Yankees won the World Series, they would have done some kind of parade, even if it wasn't, like, as big as normal, and brought the trophy, like, to the top of the rubble. Like, you would have had Derek Jeter. Imagine a picture of Derek Jeter. With, like, you know, the main Yankees right there just holding that trophy, standing, like, on the pile of rubble, like when Bush gave his speech.
Like, hugging him and everything, and then, like, a bald eagle just flies over, bang, and then you got, like, the planes flying over. And, yeah, it would have been a definitely America moment right there, you know. It would have been awesome. But, again, that's just something that just it defines you, you know what I mean? Like, I felt like 95 defined me, and then 2001 defined me also. Like, man, you know, I'm still a Yankee fan. No matter what happens, you know, Mo walking off, giving up the hit. I mean, not that he blew the game, but technically he was a losing pitcher, so he blows that game, you know what I'm saying? So I was still, obviously, you know, the biggest Yankee fan. I was coming off the high of the other World Series. We lost in 01, okay, fine. 02, you know, they lost in the playoffs, fine. 03, JJ, now this is where it starts. This is where I feel like the overrated stuff starts coming in between 03 to 08. You know what I'm saying? 03 losing to the fucking Marlins. That was terrible.
Terrible
season. Oh my God.
We had nothing in the tank. We spent in the ALCS.
Man, who was it? Jack McKinney brought out Josh Beckett in 3 days rest. I don't even know how old Beckett was. He was 21 years old.
He was
that game.
He was a kid. Man. I mean, they had, They had Miggy too. Like, that was a young team. They were, so that's the thing. We were an older team. We were trying to patch together like what was still left from that like 2000, 2001 team and trying to supplement in to just like keep going and getting ready to really spend, you know, making an A-Rod acquisition and things like that. And we just got burnt out in that ALCS. I just think we burnt out of options. And for the Marlins, they were just too young and dumb to give a care.
Dontrell Willis was on that team. I mean, he was a monster. Ivan Rodriguez was on that team. I mean, yeah, they had a good team, but I mean, I don't know what the stat lines were. What the Yankees should have won that World Series. You know, I mean, I know that they were the favorites, heavily favorites, but Okay, so we lost 0-1, we lost 0-2, we lost 0-3, fine. Now, 0-4, again, 0-4. I mean, that is just one of the worst fucking things that's ever happened to me in my life. I mean, the shit that I talked, I mean, I can't even say the stuff that I talked about when the Yankees were up 3-0 to the Red Sox. I mean, I probably could have been arrested.
I mean, tough series, worst series that I've ever seen. Worst, like, baseball thing that has happened. Maybe the worst thing that's happened in my life.
Yeah. My wife is not a baseball fan. She's not a sports fan. She watches some baseball and that, but if any old 2004 rings up, she just sees a change in my face and she's like, why does it bother you so much? And I'm like, I'm never going to get over it. You know what I mean? Like, that was, I mean, technically any Red Sox fan will always have that against us. No matter what, we can win 20 World Series in a row, they still beat us in 2004 when we were up 3 games to zero. Like, yeah. That is fucking terrible. It was terrible, terrible, terrible. And then, so, you know, that right there was a turning point for Torrey, for me. I was like, why? Game 7, man. I mean, you remember who started that game?
Who started game 7?
Game 7 in the 2004 ALCS.
Javier Vasquez?
Got Kevin Brown.
Oh, yeah, Kevin Brown.
And then he brought in Vasquez, and Vasquez is the one that gave up the grand.
Well, that's us game. Just that, again, I mean, we're patting it together. We're getting Kevin Brown. We're getting, eventually, you know, Randy Johnson. Like, everyone gets to be a Yankee once. We're trying to piece it together. But, like, that's not – I don't necessarily blame Torrey because, like, Kevin Brown wasn't the Kevin Brown he was supposed to be.
But he wasn't during the whole year. I mean, I don't know what the stats were, but, I mean, it just to me, it was like him and then Vasquez. That just killed me right there. Okay, fine. But even then, it wasn't even that much of a big deal. Okay, I get it. You know, we lose. Everybody loses. I mean, I'm saying you got to win the World Series every year. That's you know, way overboard. No Yankee fan should think about that. And then JJ, 05, 06, and 07, losing in the first round of the playoffs every single year. You know what I'm saying? And then it was just like, you know, during those years, he made like $40 million with the Yankees. You know that, right? Like, he's made the most from a manager. Yankees paid him handsomely. I mean, they pretty much gave him whatever he wanted. You know what I mean? So, what was it? Was it 08? He was the last year he managed, or was it 07? I don't remember.
He managed 07. 07. Because he made 12 years playoffs, all 12 years.
Okay. So then in 07, then in 08, you know, so he averaged about $6.5 million over the last 3 years. It was a $19 million contract over the last 3 years for the Yankees, getting bounced in the first round of the playoffs with the highest payrolls, which I know, again, we're talking between Yankee fans, not talking to anybody else, but you can't go over that. You know what I mean? You had the best players on your team, technically, because you had the highest payroll. That's how everybody looks at it. So, I mean, I'm not saying that's what it is, obviously.
They had then offered him, after that, to stay $5 million a year with a $1 million bonus for each level of the playoffs he reached. So it'd be $8 million for winning the World Series. Or for making the World Series.
Yeah, this is where the turning point for Torrey was for me, because he says he felt disrespected. You feel disrespected? You're making $5-6 million a year as a Yankee manager.
But it was a 1 year contract.
So what, JJ? So what?
No one wants a 1 year contract. You don't want to go in there as a lame duck.
We're bouncing the playoffs for 3 years in a row. You don't think that's okay?
So, I mean, he didn't want to be a lame duck. Like, I believe in a free market where they can say, hey, this is what we'll give you, and he has the right to say no. And he could say he was insulted by it.
He could say he was insulted by it, but to me, it was like, look, man, you know what I mean? You're still making the most money as a Yankee manager. We still got to keep you on your toes. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what, you know, we should do. I mean, who's it? In 03, Grady Little got fired, right, for leaving Pedro in the game, and then in 04, who did they hire? Who did the Red Sox hire? I mean, they won the World Series that year, but they basically, Red Sox fired Grady Little just off of that one instance that he let Pedro in too long in 2003.
Well, you know, yeah, but Grady Little didn't already have 4 World Series.
Yeah, okay, but what have you done for me lately, bro? I mean, we're Yankee fans, man. Come on.
So I agree. I mean, I wanted to win the World Series all those years.
Yeah, exactly.
I wasn't calling for Torrey's job because he got us, like, right there. He's getting us close. He's getting us in the playoffs. You remember watching those teams when we were getting bounced, and it's like, oh, like, we had no core. The core had left. You know, Andy Pettit, had come along at one point. He leaves. Yes. Clemens leaves. They come back. They're, you know, Clemens is popping up in the owner's box. We've got Gary Sheffield here at one point. Bobby Abreu's coming in at some point. Like, it was. Everybody got to be a Yankee once, and it was a lot of Steinbrenner. So really it was Steinbrenner ran the team for so long. Then he got banned from baseball because of the Dave Winfield stuff. He goes ahead and gets – so Gene Michael takes over, builds us a core, wins a World Series. Cashman keeps that core, wins us more World Series, doesn't win a World Series. Steinbrenner wants to spend. We start getting all these odd pieces. Then we spend, win another World Series. And then as Steinbrenner dies and we've got to let the rest of the pieces kind of fall out, these contracts expire, Cashman builds this minor league system, builds us this core that now we're looking at maybe another dynasty. So I think outside of what Torrey did, like just getting to the playoffs, regardless of the talent that they're bringing in and the level that they're supposed to be because of salaries, I mean, Torrey managed Derek Jeter from being a child to being the biggest superstar in baseball. And a lot of personality goes on with that, and a lot of clashing with Steinbrenner and being in what was MasterCard commercial or American Express commercials about it. You know, dealing with Bernie Williams, like kind of retiring, kind of not. He feels disrespected. Watching fan favorites like Paul O'Neill retire, taking bums like Scott Brosius and turning them into all-stars and, you know, ALCS MVPs. I think he managed a lot of personalities and, you know, brought in a humble guy like Tino Martinez. Obviously, he didn't bring him in, but, like, managed him taking the place of a captain. I think there was just so much on his plate, and also dealing with egos of bringing Jorge Posada along, who really wasn't supposed to be that good of a player, was supposed to be an infielder, gets close to the big leagues as a catcher, and has to manage you know, guys like Joe Girardi that are ahead of him to say this is the next guy. So kind of making those decisions, you know, even for a Derek Jeter, and, you know, deciding with Tony Fernandez's injury, like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to shoot for it with this kid. I could see frustration. I think you're taking the before and you're taking the tail end and just being like, you know, overall the numbers aren't amazing. But when you take that, like, that time when he was winning those championships, I think it just overcome, like, from a number standpoint. You know, I don't know how many managers have won 4 World Series. I'm going to Google it, and that's why I'm talking slow. But
I definitely could see. Obviously, your point is valid 100%. You know, I'm not telling you you're wrong, and I'm not saying I disagree with you at all. It's just the fact that you know, every time something happens with the Yankees, I mean, after Torrey left and Girardi took over, it was like whenever Girardi did something wrong or did, you know, the Yankees didn't win the World Series, because Yankees were still making the playoffs every year anyway, even under Girardi. I think it was just 1 year that they didn't make the playoffs. And then, you know, it was always like, well, yeah, if Torrey was here, things would have been different. Really? Torrey was there, things would have been different? Torrey went to the Dodgers after, and they didn't win shit either. So don't say that, you know, oh, if Torrey was here, Torrey was already past where he should have been with the Yankees. He made a lot of money. And then he moved on to another team, and they didn't win anything either. And I mean, that team was loaded too. The Dodgers were loaded. And they're playing in the NL West, which is obviously an easier division than it was in the AL East, especially at that time. You know, he didn't win anything either. And, you know, so to me, it was like the body of work of Joe Torrey as a manager is he's got those fucking those World Series right in the middle. And that makes everything, you know, look a lot better. Obviously, I just always faced the fact that, you know what, like if it was somebody else, Could they have won the World Series? I'm almost 100% sure the Yankees would have won all those World Series without Torrey. I mean, those Yankees don't win those.
No,
World Series
I don't necessarily think so. Like,
you don't think?
I mean,
so?
The talent was there, but there's so much of like managing. I mean, you had David Justice coming in hot off smacking around Halle Berry. Like this is like, I mean, we're dealing with like true superstars.
I feel you, bro. But the problem, and then at the end of it all, bro, this is what really sealed my fate with him. Why I didn't really like him as a person after because he wrote that book. You read the book?
No, I don't
know about the book. The Yankee
years. I know about
the
books. I just don't. I don't.
Okay, so the problem with the Yankee years is that he wrote that book right after. You know, he writes his book with Tom Verducci, and then, you know, he criticizes the players inside the clubhouse that are still playing. He's still going after A-Rod. A-Rod's still in that fucking clubhouse. You know what I'm saying? He's still playing with Jeter. So to me, right there, that just kind of shows me like, oh, the Yankees didn't pay my money, so now, you know, I'm going to shit on the current players that are there. I mean, Derek Jeter And Alex Rodriguez, obviously, you know, nobody knows exactly what the story is, but you know that, you know, A-Rod fucking, you know, try to mimic Jeter wherever he was going. You know, Jeter was just, you know, his, he was looked up to him, you know, even though A-Rod was more talented, he still looked up to Jeter. And then for him to call him, oh, people didn't like him behind his back. They called him A-Fraud. I mean, come on, bro. Why would you, why you keep the family business? You're a Yankee, right? Like Jay-Z said, I plead the fifth when it comes to the fan. I'm like a dog. I never speak, but I understand. You know what I mean? Like Jory is a Yankee. Why are you writing books and you know, making those known problems in that clubhouse for everybody else to read? It, that to me was just like a no-go. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. I talked to you on your podcast about the Yankees. He was overrated, but I won't go anywhere else and talk about this. Yeah. I will defend Joe Torre like he's fucking my godfather. Like, I'm not going to shit on Joe Torre. Even if this shit, you know, came out, oh, you said this. You know, I don't give a shit what I said. I don't remember saying that shit. I was fucked up. You know, coronavirus had me all fucked up. I was talking crazy. You know what I'm saying? But it's the fact that, like, as a Yankee, man, I'm a Yankee fan. I know you're a Yankee fan. I listen to you all the time, you know, from the beginning. So Yankee fans will always, you could tell who's the diehards and who's the flakes. You know what I mean? That will say, I don't watch baseball as much. I'm a diehard, bro. So to me, I will cheer for anybody in that uniform. I don't care who it is. Alex Rodriguez came to that team, and I know he was arrogant as shit, but he moved over to his to a third base position when he was better at shortstop than Derek Jeter was. Whatever. You know, he was the better player. He moved over. To me, that right there showed, you know, a little humility in saying, you know what, I want to be a winner. I want to be a championship team. And for Torre to – I kind of feel like Torre never really tried to get that relationship fixed in that clubhouse, you know, with Derek Jeter and A-Rod. And, you know, when he left – and, you know, Girardi took over and 09 happened. I mean, steroids, whatever. I mean, A-Rod just looked like a completely different person, you know, in that 09 playoffs, man. He wasn't, you know, he carried us. And to me, I always felt like Torre was a little like, I don't like that shit. I would have rather them never win another World Series after me. And
yeah, that, I mean, I think he was angry. He was an angry ex at the time. And it's exactly. Weird because he was a grown man. He's an old man. But, you know, O.J. Simpson killed his wife, but he was still a great football player. Like, that doesn't cancel out, like, what he did, you know, as a manager. So, I appreciate your point of view. I appreciate the, you know, hopefully conversation started. If you're listening to this, let us know what you think. George's Box Pod on Twitter will be tweeting it, and we'll be tagging Ryan and his handle, @StadiumStatuz, Stadium Status. Ryan, I really appreciate you kind of throwing out a hot take, and we'll see what the people think.
Thanks, man. Thanks, JJ, man. I really appreciate the platform you guys are performing, man. And you know, you're definitely doing something, man, while we're still waiting for this baseball season to start, man. I don't know what's gonna happen, honestly. I mean, what do you think? What's your last thing on that? What do you think? Anything is gonna start?
I'm hoping for mid May. As things continue to look worse, it might be June.
I can't do this. I got these kids in this house, and I need to do something for myself. I can't do it, man. What? Last thing is that if it's a destination World Series, man, South Florida is really nice in December. So if it does happen and they decide to do a destination World Series in South Florida, JJ, you're welcome to my house, man.
I appreciate it, man. I might take you up on it because it's gonna be like probably Super Bowl week pricing down there.
Oh man, yeah, it's gonna be pretty insane. I mean, at least we could tailgate. We could do something out here. I mean, it'll be crazy, man. I don't know. It might change the landscape. What do you think? Destination World Series every 4 years? Well, I don't know. Maybe baseball will try something like that.
It could be. I mean, it'll be interesting because that'll be a moneymaker for them. But you know, there'll be teams that you know, totally disagree with it, like, you know, like the Yankees, who are just like,
of course,
you know, we want to sell our home.
Well, it's Yankee Stadium South down here. I mean, you know, I've been to Tampa. That shit's a dump. But I went to Marlins Park when the Yankees were playing the Marlins. I think it was about 2 years ago. And I mean, 90% of the fucking stadium was Yankee fans anyway. So we'd definitely be represented down there anyway, down here anyway, with Yankee fans that, you know, came down from New York. So we'll see what happens, man.
Yeah, man.
I'm ready for the season, bro. I'm tired of. Freezing cold takes, bro, honestly.
I love it, man.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.